Okay, Tamsin, so what comes to your mind when you think of AI?
Probably sci-fi movies, things like robot waitresses coming to serve you at a table, robots taking over the world, that kind of thing.
Okay, but do you use your phone's voice assistant or unlock it using Face ID? Or have you ever found yourself scrolling endlessly on Instagram or TikTok because you just keep getting served videos that you can't stop watching?
I've definitely been there on the doom scroll at some point.
Well, all of that relies on AI. Welcome to Beyond Boundaries from the University of Aberdeen. Today, we're talking about AI, short for artificial intelligence. It's been a big news over the last few years, and our guest is someone who really eats, sleeps, lives, and breathes AI.
Wait, it's not a robot?
No, afraid not. I'll let him introduce himself.
My name is Georgios Leontidis. I have two different roles at the university. I'm the university's interdisciplinary director for data and AI, but I'm also a professor of machine learning.
Machine learning, that's the technology behind things like facial recognition, self-driving cars, chatbots, and tools like ChatGPT, where you can give an instruction or a question and it spits out an answer within seconds. Do you remember all the hype around ChatGPT when it first launched? Have you tried it?
I have tried it. I thought it was quite interesting, actually, especially when you're trying to reword something creatively. So AI is this new technology that all of a sudden is changing the way we do things, the way we work, the kinds of jobs that we can do.
Well, yes, but also not quite.
I would say that to have a full picture of what AI is, we have to start from the, you know, about 1940s with Alan Turing.
You might have heard that name, or if you haven't, maybe you've heard of the film about his life, The Imitation Game, starring Benedict Cumberbatch.
So Alan Turing obviously was a brilliant scientist. He published quite extensively in AI, and most of the stuff that he developed back in the 40s are really very relevant nowadays. So he defined the whole era of AI, and he inspired quite a few of the successors of Alan Turing to develop what we have today, the modern AI. That's why Alan Turing is as relevant today as perhaps he was back in the 40s. But then there's a long history of AI since then with, you know, several milestones and ways that AI techniques have been developed and are used even nowadays in practice.
Okay, so even though AI seems like a super modern technology, it actually goes back a pretty long way.
Yep, but that said, it does feel like the pace of change has ramped up a lot in recent years. The speed of innovation in AI is kind of mind-boggling. And again, I feel like ChatGPT is one of the AI tools that everyone has heard of. There's been so much publicity about it.
Now, what happened with ChatGPT back in December 2022 when it came out is that AI became even more popular. So I think most of us start seeing the potential of AI in this kind of text generation type of systems. But this is just a very small portion of what AI approaches are. Now, obviously, ChatGPT is a system that is quite successful in what it's doing. I think everybody has been surprised to see that you can just throw a couple of words and a couple of prompts, and it gives you a very nicely generated text or you know, a few paragraphs, and then you can use them, you can reuse them or expand upon them. But it would be unfair for AI to be conflated with ChatGPT as that being the only AI system that is out there. I would say that what we see currently as being the most popular AI systems, including ChatGPT, is based on a system which is called artificial neural network. These techniques are scalable, which means that they have the capabilities of adding more data and more resources to it, and they become bigger and better. But this is not the only system that exists within AI. So for instance, there is a big area of AI which is called multi-agent systems or argumentation or reasoning.
So yeah, there are lots of different types of AI systems, but the one that Professor Leontidis specializes in is machine learning.
And within machine learning, the past 12, 15 years, we've seen a growing component in terms of, you know, how much is used, how much is adopted, and, you know, there are many universities around the globe that have been developing machine learning systems. But even within machine learning, we have another category, which is called deep learning. So deep learning systems, actually, if we want to be precise, is what ChatGPT is based on. And if we want to go even a step lower than that, we have generative deep learning systems, which is exactly what ChatGPT is about. That's why we call ChatGPT generative AI. So you will see that generative AI is used sometimes to refer to those systems, like ChatGPT.
So rather than helping us understand existing data, generative AI is about actually creating new data, new content, like new pictures, videos, or text.
Earlier, we heard about Alan Turing, who was an early pioneer of computer science. But have you heard of the Turing test? It's named after him.
Do all of these machines that we are using nowadays could pass the Turing test, which is, could we have a ChatGPT that the output that it generates can be considered as being a human-generated output? So do we have the case where human and AI is really something that is indistinguishable? I think to some extent we are at the point where Turing test has become a bit irrelevant. The reason for that is that the systems of today, like ChatGPT and some newer models that are out there, are very good in specific type of questions to be able to pass Turing test. The problem is that the systems nowadays are so complex where you might have the case where the same system, say ChatGPT, if you prompt it, so if you ask it to give you something as an output, it could be that in one time, what you get out of the system, you say, yeah, perfect, that could be a human. But the next sentence could say, no, that's definitely not a human. So then to what extent do you go to evaluate those systems so that you are confident that they pass a Turing test? Because you have 10 questions, and the first five of them, you say, yeah, that's human. And then the rest five, you say, that doesn't sound like a human. So then overall, you might not pass the Turing test. So you understand the complexity. It's really how far you go to evaluate those complex systems, where they fail in some very simple cases and they are succeeding in some very complex cases. So I think we have to understand that distinguishing an output of an AI system from what an output of a human-generated content could be is not as simple as just reading a paragraph or a text. So we might need different types of tests to be able to understand whether actually those systems could pass what Turing thought back then to be the appropriate Turing test.
How do you feel about the idea of AI being able to pass the Turing test, being able to convince us it's human?
It's a bit strange, considering you've got a limited number of questions and some of them pass as human and some might not. Would we pass as humans?
Tamsin, are you trying to say me you are a robot?
Well, maybe.
I think we have to appreciate that AI is with us now. We see it everywhere. It's producing so much data. In the past, you could say that if you were using Google search engine, you were confident that the output of the Google search engine would be, you know, human-generated content. You know, there was an article, a magazine. Nowadays, most of the data that we might be seeing out there might be AI-generated data. So then the question is, what do we do with that? Do we cherish that? Or do we have to be careful about that? Do we have to be critical about that? For me, it's an opportunity, right? It's part of how societies evolve, right? You know, 20 years ago, we had YouTube, and then people were excited about YouTube. And nowadays, YouTube is everywhere. You know, students watch courses on YouTube. You learn from YouTube. Now it's AI. AI is everywhere. So how do we explore that? And for me to explore that effectively, given how it propagates across all facets of our society, you have to have this kind of multiple perspectives and different perspectives to be able to explore and evaluate AI. And evaluation of AI is a very big topic nowadays.
Georgios mentioned that studying and working with AI isn't just about the actual technology. It's also about exploring and evaluating its impacts, like how it affects our society.
Now, I think what has changed with AI, especially the perception of people over the past few years, is that AI is not only a technical discipline. It's not only a discipline that a computing scientist will explore, or an engineer, or a mathematician. I wouldn't even say that's a discipline, because it's so broad that it really spans multiple disciplines. You can have people in law, you can have people in social sciences or philosophers exploring different areas of AI. It could be the ethics of AI, it could be the legal implications of AI or the social implications of AI.
And by the way, this theme of AI and ethics is one we talk about in an earlier episode of Beyond Boundaries on AI and the law with Dr. Patricia Zipkovich. Go find that one in the podcast feed if you haven't heard it already. Has your interest been piqued? Well, Aberdeen offers 400 different degrees.
You can come visit our incredible ancient campus with state-of-the-art facilities and see the accommodation options for yourself on one of our open days.
You can meet more of University of Aberdeen's expert. There's a list of our events and open days on our website. So find the link in the episode description.
But what is the most enjoyable part of what I do specifically is you have the opportunity and the joy to be discussing with multiple different people and very big diverse cohort of people and different disciplines and different backgrounds about AI. You can go for a coffee and you meet a philosopher in our schools here, and you might start going down the route of ethics of AI or the philosophy of AI in general. Why do we need AI? What is AI and what is a human, or whether there's a symbiosis in the future between those two things and the cultural elements of that and the evolution of the human species and so on.
As well as all the opportunities that AI opens up, there has also been a lot of talk in the media about the risks it poses, like the risk that a lot of jobs might end up becoming irrelevant because AI can just do them more quickly or more cheaply. But Georgios is actually pretty optimistic about our future.
Well, I am excited by AI. I don't know if I'm biased given my background in AI, but I'm thinking that the opportunities that we have nowadays with AI definitely are overshadowing the risks that are imposed by AI. This doesn't mean that the risks should not be considered or should not be tackled, but I think we have a unique opportunity here. And the opportunity is to allow AI to do some tasks that might be more onerous tasks or interrogate large amounts of data than the past wouldn't be possible for a human to interrogate the data, and then try to identify what risks exist and try to solve or mitigate those risks. With the advent of systems like ChatGPT, we have to think, how can we use those AI systems to actually support research activities that we have at the university? So say, for instance, you have a researcher that they want to develop a very small program, like programming languages, and there's an error in the code. And they might say, okay, let's try to see if ChatGPT can find what the error is and solve it for me, because that would allow me to use that piece of code to analyze some data that before it would take me 10 hours, and now it would take me 5 minutes. So I'm definitely excited because there are multiple examples of how AI is used for, energy transition or for the climate emergency or for healthcare. But then you have AI that is used to evaluate biodiversity loss, which is a huge issue when it comes to climate emergency and so on. So there are so many positives of AI out there. It would be a bit naive from our perspective to dismiss that just because of the potential risks that this imposes.
It's so interesting that AI can help us track biodiversity loss, improve healthcare, all of these things that humans have worked on for years, but AI can assist us? That seems quite sensible, really.
Well, it's here now. We have to find ways to make good use of it.
Well, food production is another area that Georgios thinks AI could really transform.
One of the biggest activities that we have at the university at the moment when it comes to AI is how AI is used for sustainable agriculture. That means that we are trying to develop AI systems that can support the transition of agri-food systems to net zero, which means that we are working with growers, with farmers, and we are using agricultural data, for instance, to predict yields for strawberries or to evaluate land and see how land changes or deforestation. So then you have AI applied to the agri-food setting, so agricultural setting. So that's a kind of a very exciting moment for us because we have a very large project that started a couple of months ago together with a few other universities. Then we are using AI for energy transition problems. And for instance, we are working with companies for predicting emissions of gas turbines. So then you have an AI system that can support this element of more industry-related projects. In the past, we've had projects where we used AI to detect operational abnormalities of nuclear reactors. We have quite a few academics across the university and researchers that they are developing AI systems for healthcare, about medical diagnosis and systems like breast cancer screening and so on. So there are lots of nice projects. So what we have to do is grasp the opportunity, but reflect on the risks and try to work with different academics, different, you know, universities, different departments, different schools to solve and mitigate those risks. But the opportunities are there. We should not just discard that. There are many initiatives across the university here in Aberdeen, but also across the UK, where AI has really become a central component of the university, just because of all of these opportunities that we have.
As Georgios says, here at Aberdeen, there are loads of opportunities to get involved with AI in all sorts of ways and to study it from all angles.
It really depends on the interests, right? Across the university, we have quite a few AI experts that are spread across multiple different schools and departments. AI is not a single discipline, as I mentioned before. You might have, for example, the Department of Computing Science, where you have AI experts that are computing scientists, and they are more developing, you know, the programming side of things, more, you know, the underlying technical developments. But then you have a psychology department where you have AI experts that are more on the psychology side, where they are perhaps exploring face recognition systems or, you know, like neuroscience and how you can use AI to interrogate signals of the brain. But then you might jump onto the social sciences school and you might have people exploring the use of AI in social settings and, you know, the politics and the policy behind AI. And then if you go across the road, you might end up in the School of Law and you have legal experts exploring IT law or the legal implications of AI and the regulatory elements of AI. So how do we regulate AI? Do we have to regulate AI? How do we moderate the risks of AI? So then, depending on which department or which school of the university you study, you're going to meet AI experts that they approach AI from a very different perspective, from their own discipline perspective. But then at the university level, our students have the opportunity to liaise with people like myself. And then we have, you know, researchers, academics that are coming together. We have events. We have some successful networks like the Human-Centered AI Network, where we have people from different schools coming together discussing topical topics and, you know, some very challenging topics that we are facing in the society. And that's a great opportunity because you have different people from different backgrounds coming together, expressing ideas, disagreeing with each other, which is always nice, and that's how society progresses, and coming up with some exciting ideas to explore in the future. And obviously students are at the very center of that. So that's a very exciting opportunity to have here, obviously within the ethical dimensions of research, but is everywhere. So I cannot see a single discipline that will not benefit from AI. We should not underestimate the risks that are imposed, but we have to find a way of mitigating them rather than being scared.
Georgios believes the future of AI is in the hands of today's students and tomorrow's students like you.
We are, let's say, seasoned academics, but then the future lies with the new generations. Those students will be the future of AI, and they have to come along and work with us and think what the future of AI is. How do we perceive new AI systems that might be just in the fantasy at the moment? ChatGPT as a system 10 years ago was just a science fiction. Maybe no one has thought about that as a possibility. So who knows what will be the case in 10 years from now? And perhaps the best suited people are the students of today or of tomorrow to explore that. And we are just here to help them out and to have this kind of synergistic approach to that. I would say that's a very exciting period of time to be an AI researcher. And the reason for that is that it's become very popular. Even people that they didn't know what AI is or that AI existed, they now talk about that. You see it on the news. So I think it's a very exciting moment to be exploring all the facets of AI.
Thanks to Professor Georgios Leontidis for talking to us about his work and giving us an insight into all the different opportunities for studying AI at the University of Aberdeen.
If you want to join the Boundary Breakers, you can come to one of our open days and see our historic campus. You can also download our digital prospectus at www.abdn.ac.uk.
And to hear more from us, check out the rest of the podcast. Each episode discusses the groundbreaking research from one of Aberdeen's academics.
produced by Bespoken Media.